I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Do the Right Thing! Hello and welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to do your nails? Gently tap them till they stand on their own and then smash them home with a claw hammer. Losing patience with the show. I'm Daniel Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, if he were a Thundercat, he'd definitely be the Northern Irish one. It's Michael Legg. And with him, like me, she's used Sting's toilet. No, it isn't Sting. It's Vivian Ashyampong! And on my right, like an explosion in a nothing factory. It's Margaret K. Von Smith! And with her, an easy bake John Oliver, you took out the oven too soon. It's Glenn Moore! One is the loneliest number, so cheer it up by making it the first round. The importance of being right.
The importance of being right.
Just like a scoutmaster who's ordered a box of freeze your own jubblies from Anne Summers rather than Jay Sainsbury's, I've run into some trouble online. I'm glad you know what jubblies are. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario and they're going to tell me what the right thing to do is according to Midge URL. That gets a tick.
Full on breakdown.
Margaret and Glenn, you're taking a stroll around the streets of London, partaking in your second favourite hobby of bin watching. You have a book to note down all the different types of bin, recycling bins full of shoes and human waste, dog litter bins containing hypodermic needles. It really is a treat. You remark upon how quiet and serene life is since the event, when the bin that you're looking at is suddenly plucked from in front of you and thrown through the window of a pret-a-manger. Oh no, you're stuck in the middle of a bloody mass street brawl. And with that, I ask you, what is the right way to survive a riot, according to urbansurvival.com?
I think if you put your head down and just join in, then you're absolutely fine. Because I did this once in Sheffield, and I saw this big demonstration of people roughly my age at the time. I was about 18 or 19. And I thought it was some sort of protest against the government. And I just joined in and I was like, yeah. And then as we sort of like progressed through the streets of Sheffield, it became apparent that actually we were all on our way to Tramlines Festival to watch Ms. Dynamite. And I'd grossly misjudged it. But at the same time, I left with my life unscathed.
You don't look like a rioter.
No, nor do I look like a Ms. Dynamite fan. But but looks can be deceiving.
Margaret, have you ever partaken in some civil unrest?
Well,
as a Catholic?
No, I have a... Yes, I actually started the Troubles. No, I've been on lots of demonstrations, but I think I have a very sort of head teacher-like demeanour, which makes everyone around me behave. I think actually if I was in a riot... Well, the best way to survive a riot is to dress half like an anarchist, mm-hmm, and half like a police officer.
Down the middle.
Yes.
But you went on the stop the Brexit.
I went on the Brexit, the pro-Brexit march.
Fuck me, you.
Yeah, really destroyed that Polish centre.
No.
Yes, I did. I've been on a few pointless marches.
So I used to go to loads of marches when I first moved to London. I went to the Stop the War marches. And what genuinely put me off was funny placards.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Fuck off. I would rather see someone saw someone else's leg.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
That is a good placard. Oh, my God. Fuck off. I mean, that says what we're all thinking.
Are you a fan of a... So,
Am I a fan of what?
Street violence.
Firstly,
sawing people's
firstly,
legs
it wasn't the fucking Catholics that started the trouble. What was the other thing? What was the question?
The question was, how do you survive a riot?
Yeah,
so
no,
there
but
must
what,
be some. Oh, so you might.
There must be some rioting in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it even ended up on the telly. It was easier to get on the BBC in the 70s, though, wasn't it?
Have you ever been caught up in scary street troubles?
Well, I have, but it was in Lewisham.
Oh, that's not fair. I'm from Lewisham. What happened?
Mate, if anyone at this fucking panel is from Lewisham, it's me, all right?
Wow. I'm from Lewisham. Wow.
Don't you fucking bring your I'm from Lewisham.
I am! I went to school in Lewisham!
Oh, you went to school? Then you're not from Lewisham, mate, all right?
I am.
Now feels like a really bad time to tell people that I'm from Lewisham.
Are you, though? Prove it.
Yeah, are you, though? Yeah,
you know you two were on the same team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This high-pitched screaming at each other.
Well, I mean, there was that time, wasn't it, then I got accosted by a gang who were on roller skates. They were scary. There was, like, loads of them. And they were wearing roller skates. This... Yeah, see, exactly. You don't know what it's like living in tough South East London.
But I know what it's like to be in Starlight Express, so it's a sort of, it's a heady balance.
It's funny you should say that!
Viv, how are you around large crowds of people?
All right. I mean, I've never been on a march.
Well, not,
yeah,
not
I know, I know, I know. That's bad. Does that make me a bad person? I wear badges to support the cause, but I think I'm a bit lazy. I can't bother to walk. Yeah, I'm a bad person, aren't I? Fuck. I am politically aware, but I just don't go on marches.
I've just remembered that I accidentally went on a march as well, but it wasn't a gig, it was a proper march, and it was something that I was interested in. It was, you know, pro-tuition fees. No, anti-tuition fees. You know, the good one. Anyway, and I was on it, and I was thinking, oh, this is good, I'm fine with this. But then we got to the police cordon, and I had to go to the front and say, I'm sorry, can I get through? I've got a matinee.
Through.
They did let me through. Theatrical emergency.
Michael, if you were stuck in a riot situation on Oxford Street, what is the first shop you would loot?
Oh, God, shop. Yeah. Not pub. God, I never thought about it. There are shops in these days. Not as many as they used to be, right? Guys. Virgin Megastore's gone. Don't know if you remember that.
Tower Records.
Tower Records. Was there a Tower Records on
No, not there. It's down on Piccadilly. But it's near
oh
enough.
My God, guys.
Yeah. Really old. In a situation where you can get away with looting, would you loot?
Oh, I loot Urban Outfitters because it's a shop for cunts. And 45 quid for a t-shirt that says Bananarama on it. No.
That's true.
There you go.
I agree with
We're a team again.
The only shop the only shop I'd want to loot is anyone that would have Ollie Murs inside. And I'd go in and I'd fire one gunshot close to him and then I'd whisper in his ear, no one will ever believe you.
So here's a simplified question. Should you move in the same direction or the opposite direction?
Depends if you want to see him as dynamite.
As the rioting mob.
I think you want to move alongside them because then you can match their pace. If you
but
go in
the same direction.
The only time I ever walk across London Bridge is either at sort of about 9 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and anyone with a normal real job is always walking the opposite direction. It is hell. So I think anything opposite that would be fine.
Yeah, and shout, go on! And again, people won't know if you're shouting that to the police or the rioters.
Oh, nice. You could be one of those plainclothes prostitutes.
A plainclothes prostitute sounds like a not very good prostitute who's wearing what I'm wearing, which is like a jumper and a pinafore, you know, so no one's going to know I'm a prostitute. That isn't what you meant, was
it? If anyone's fetish is smart cash.
Yeah. Producer Ben, what is the actual answer? Has anybody got close?
Well, a little bit. UrbanSurvivalSite.com say, no matter how tempting it might be, you should never ever join a riot.
Aww. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah,
but what if there's a cracking headliner at the end of it?
They say doing things like screaming or throwing bricks effectively paints a bullseye on your back and you could get into trouble. I mean, I'm not going to take a point off, but Margaret's idea to paint yourself half rioter, half police is very wrong because they say in a riot there are three groups of people, the rioters, the police and the non-violent bystanders. You want to do your best to blend in with the third group and avoid... And avoid the attention of the first two whilst making your way to safety. So point to Glenn for saying that you go in the same direction as the riot. One of the worst things you can do is try to swim upstream by walking against the flow of people. This is a quick way to get knocked over and trampled to death. Instead, calmly go with the flow of the crowd until an opportunity such as a doorway or an alley presents itself. They say, if you remain calm and patient, the opportunity to get indoors should eventually present itself. Keep inside the nearest building, lock the doors if you can, and stay there. Keep away from the windows and exterior walls to protect yourself from thrown bricks, bullets, and other projectiles. Yeah. So, 1 point to Glenn.
This is the advice in every zombie film as well.
Isn't the advice to tool up and kick dicks?
And remove the kick dicks.
That's just
always
your
go
advice.
For the zombie's dick.
That's how you kill them, right? Kick their dick
always
off.
Always did it, yeah.
My uncle lost an eye in a riot.
Oh.
Now it's called rot. No, I didn't mean that. No, that's dreadful. Not what I meant. He really did. My uncle was a policeman in Northern Ireland, which is just off the coast of the Isle of Man. And during a fun day, that's what we call them, everyone was excited and throwing bricks. And he opened the back of the armoured vehicle that he was in and loads of bricks were coming his way. And he closed the door. And like, bah, 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 all the bricks hit the door. And like a prick, he opened up the doors and went, ha ha, you missed. And got bricked in the fucking eye.
Oh.
So, do I get a point for that?
Does he still have his dick? That's the.
I have it.
Michael and Vivian, you're being interviewed for your dream job of person in a mattress advert. Not everyone dreams of going into space or curing cancer, and that's what makes the human condition so fascinating. You've done well on the group test and the written exam, but there's just one more hurdle to get over before you get the job. The boss wants to check how many Twitter followers you have, and he's pleased. Well done. But wait, what's this? Your mum has been posting photos of you on Instagram from that time you went to a party dressed as a mattress. Well, that's cultural appropriation. You don't get the job. So what is the right way to stop your parents embarrassing you on social media, according to ChicagoTribune.com?
Literally no one in the entire world, no one, not a single person, no one who is sane allows their parents to follow them on any form of social media. If you're living under this fucking cloud of delusion that you're friends with your family, fucking wake up. Yeah. They hate you and they're waiting for you to fail. Don't be an idiot.
Vivian, are you
friends? I agree. Who the fuck is friends with their parents on social media, let alone real life? I mean, my parents wouldn't even know how to use social media. They don't know how to use a phone properly.
So, see, the problem's taken away from you. Say one day your parents go, oh, we're going to have not even separate Facebook accounts, a joint one, where they've combined their name into one name.
No, absolutely no motherfucking way. Hell no. Do you know what I mean? I've got cousins that try and befriend me from, like, Ghana and stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know them. They're not going to look at my social media. No way. I mean, who's friends with their parents? I feel
but,
really strong
no,
about this.
But, no, but, listen.
But, but you're friends with your parents. Are they
only in real life? No, not on social media. They can't do social media. They don't do it. But the point about this query is, though, if they're on social media, you sort of need to keep an eye on them, don't you? Because if they're posting pictures, like dirty pictures of you, and you both know your parents
dirty
got loads
pictures.
Of dirty pictures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Filth.
Yeah, from my lingerie days.
So, you sort of have to know what they're doing on social media.
I've never known anyone's mum or dad on social media, though, to have more than 5 friends. Mm. And so it wouldn't be seen by anyone. If there were obscene photos of me on my dad's Facebook, well, that sounds weird.
Yeah. And there are.
But yeah, then I personally don't mind. They're between him and all of my uncles.
But
sounded weirder again.
How would you, right? So, Glenn, your parents have this Facebook page or something and they want to be your friend. You get that friend request. Do you accept it or do you?
No, you don't accept and you don't deny. You leave it to languish there amongst your other friend requests from people with no mutual friends, and there's just one picture of a beach and you go, we don't know each other. I'm not friends of any beaches. And then they just sort of sit in there and I'll never know. And you just go, I haven't gotten around to it yet. My aunt and uncle found my Twitter page over Christmas and they don't really understand Twitter. And I wasn't there the last sort of family gathering, but my uncle just read out my tweets to my family.
God.
But even the picture tweets, he just read out the captions. And I was in Rotherham once, and there was a big poster of Will Smith advertising a club night, and it had a speech bubble coming out of his mouth, and it said, biggest bank holiday to ever hit Rotherham. And the caption was something like, I don't think Will Smith has ever said this. So that's the only thing my uncle read out at the dinner table. And my mum went, your jokes don't even make sense, Glenn. So now I sound rubbish. More rubbish.
Michael, are you friends with any younger family on social media?
No.
None of them?
No. Why would you do that?
I have put up, right, so I had to, my very racist uncle.
Oh dear.
You have nailed it already, because they're all racist. No. Every member well, of every family is a racist.
Mine aren't.
Here's the thing. Why are we embarrassed of our family? Why are they not embarrassed?
No, they are, Michael. Don't worry.
No, they're not. Because they don't...
Not enough.
They don't register anything that we do. And yet we see all their fucking Britain First posts. And don't act like your family doesn't, you know, fully support Britain First.
My family
does. They do. Every single... Your mum and your dad... are in Britain First. They are.
This is the weirdest intervention I've ever been in.
I'm telling you
Michael's
this now.
Michael's gathered hundreds of people to tell
your
them.
Your mum and dad met in Britain First. That is true.
Viv, you used to be a teacher.
I still am, sometimes.
Did you... are you... Do you let, like, pupils become friends with you?
Oh, my God, absolutely not, because they're babies. It's primary school. I mean, they're still little shits, but it's primary school. But I did do something on YouTube, and some of the kids were like, oh, Miss Champong, I see you on YouTube. And I was like, okay, fuck off, because you shouldn't be watching that. But
What was it?
It was how much I hate kids. So inside,
was it one of your Britain First posts?
It was exactly that. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of that. But so absolutely not. I don't even like the kids to see that I'm a human being.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
but I'm not their mate. They're not my mates.
Margaret, you've had auditions. Ever had to audition as a mattress?
Everyone else gets proper questions, don't they? Talk about being a mattress. No.
You said mattress. I genuinely thought you said actress.
Yeah, that's like,
yeah, yeah, I thought you said that as well.
That was the coldest question I've ever heard.
Ever had to pretend you were an actress? I once auditioned for a panto and there were no lines. Well, I got there and I was supposed to have looked at the script and I hadn't looked at the script, so I had to sort of read it cold, which usually I'm very good at. But there were no lines because it was the cat in Puss in Boots. No, in Dick Whittington. But what I didn't realise...
Very different cat.
such a different cat. What I didn't realise was I was supposed to be miming everything. Somebody was translating and I was supposed to be miming, but I thought it would be funny just to go, rah-rah-rah, and I did the whole thing and they just stared at me and then said, thank you very much. Yeah.
My favourite audition story, so I had a baby in November and...
American.
Yeah, no.
That's the baby.
So at our 20-week scan, we found out our baby had a heart condition and would have to have heart surgery afterwards. And so it was like a big thing to deal with. And a couple of weeks later, we were going in to see the cardiologist at Great Ormond Street. And that morning, my boyfriend, the father of my child, have to clarify, he had an audition and it was for Marmite. And the script was kind of like, it's a genetic thing. Do you like Marmite? Do you not like Marmite? It's genetic. And it's a comedy advert, seeing all comedians. And he went into this audition in the morning of the afternoon of us seeing a cardiologist about our unborn baby's heart condition. And the director said, no, I just want you to channel the idea. Imagine that you've got your partner pregnant and your genetic inability means that your baby... There's something really wrong with it. Can you do that? Like, and I want you to bring this to the audition. Imagine how upset your partner would be if it's your sperm that's caused this baby to have...
They didn't say sperm.
They genuinely did. That's caused this baby to have a disability. And when he told me, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard.
Did he get it?
He didn't get it. Oh. I know.
No, because he was enough, weeping during the...
He was really upset by it.
Yes, because he's human.
Sperm is very Marmite, though, isn't it? A lot of people like it.
The last audition I had where I didn't have to say anything was one for a cider advert a couple of years ago, and they said, oh, it's only for, like, Norway, and don't worry, you don't have to look Norwegian. And I was like, okay, because I don't. And then they were like, and also, it's just you're playing a guy who sort of works in the factory packing barrels there. You don't have to look like you're a big sort of burly guy. And I was like, again, good. And they said, and then when you leave the factory, there'll be, like, music playing, and you just sort of move along to the music. You're not dancing, and they say you don't have to be a trained dancer. And okay. And I went along, and sure enough, it was dance studios. And I went in, and it was like this big Billy Elliot sort of room with all mirrors on the walls and bars and stuff like that. And they asked at the beginning if I'm a trained dancer, and I said, obviously not. Because they said, we're saying you feel comfortable moving in, and I just wore a shirt and jeans because I was like, I feel comfortable walking at a slow pace in these. And then they went, right, in your own time. And I said, what? And they went, yeah, if you just dance for us. No music. And I just closed my eyes, and I just danced for 4 minutes.
Is this on YouTube?
They filmed it, and I don't know where that video is. All I remember is I clapped my hands at one point and I fell over. Because they said, oh, feel free to use the bars to warm up. And I was like, I don't know what they do.
Oh.
And I'm in it. I'm not at all.
Let's pretend for a moment that we're all in our 20s. How would you tell your parents that they're annoying you?
You ring them.
No, you don't. Well, if you're 20, no, you don't. You just put up one of those, you know, the captions on Instagram that say things like, oh, I love yourself and the day will be better. Fuck you, Mum. That's what you do.
My sister-in-law used to post loads of memes that were all really inspiring. And I used to always reply with, you're such a twat, every single time. Listen, I really love my sister-in-law anyway, but my God, to her eternal credit, when her mum, who is a lovely human being, died, she posted this thing, and then she wrote at the end of her sort of really beautiful, moving thing that she wrote about her mum, she wrote, I wonder what Michael has to say about this. Oh, yeah.
I think I like your sister-in-law more than you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, me too.
Producer Ben, what are the actual answers?
I don't think I'm giving any points, but shout out if you sponsor
me. Hang on, I don't think I fucking finished. The point is, you block them, that's it.
But that's the problem in the thing.
What?
The problem in the thing is that they're talking about you and losing you work.
Glenn's already said it. They've got no one on their fucking... They've got three friends in the entire world, and two of them are going to die in the next week. So, here's the thing. You just block them because, you know what? Did they not embarrass you enough in real life? Why would you ever, ever... Listen. I once took my parents to the theatre. To this day, it is the worst night of my life. I paid for them to get front row fucking tickets at cabaret, and I sat there beside them thinking I was a real grown-up treating my family to something really, really lovely. James Dreyfus. Do you know James Dreyfus? I hate James Dreyfus, but I didn't know he was the MC in cabaret, right? He was the first guy to walk on stage. We're in the front row. We are 3 feet from James Dreyfus. The room was completely silent, and before he opened his mouth, my dad loudly and clearly just went, Mangle, there's that man you hit. So why would you accept a friend request? You are the problem, not them.
Ben, what is the answer?
Well, before I give the answers, Margaret is right. The problem is your parents posting things without your say-so.
Okay, ask them to stop. Can we get a point?
I said that!
According to the Chicago Tribune, the best way to deal with parents who embarrass you online is actually not to directly tell them how annoying they are. Instead, pretend you have a friend whose parents are embarrassing on social media. Ask for your parents' advice on what your friend could say to her parents to remedy the situation. By doing this, your parents won't have to feel defensive about what they've done or bruised by your criticism. If they twig that your friend is actually you, take the time to explain to them that your network includes more formal contacts like co-workers, bosses, or people you'd like to impress. For example, you could also introduce your parents to the direct messaging features in the social platforms they use and tell them, if it's not a comment you could make at my workplace, share it privately instead. So I'm going to give a point to Michael and Vivian for essentially saying, stop it, to your parents.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of chat with your parents and spending a lot of time with them. That was all, like, 2 times.
Yeah.
Just send them a text and ask them to stop.
You have to be really subtle and be like, so my friend's got this really annoying parent called you.
Well, it's time for some agony. In this round, I'll be getting the panel to solve some problems from our audience. But before that, I'm going to test their empathy with a letter sent to a real agony aunt. Margaret, could you read this out?
Dear Agony Aunt, my husband and I live in a community that has expensive water and sewerage costs. So to save money, he chooses to urinate in the bathroom sink, claiming it uses a fraction of the water that flushing the toilet would. He says urine is sterile and that, anyway, he washes the sink basin as he washes his hands. Oh, he also says that over the course of several wees a day, the savings are significant. I think I'd prefer him to use the toilet like a normal person. But am I being unfair? What are your thoughts on his actions?
So I think fair enough.
Are you joking? Are you being serious?
Yeah.
No.
Not absolutely not.
And actually, it's for a very simple reason.
Yeah.
You don't piss in the fucking sink. You just don't do it.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yes, of course. You should fucking get rid of him if that's what he's doing. He could be having shits in the sink. He could be doing all sorts. Do you know what I mean? No. No, pissing in the sink.
Yeah. What? See, where does he wank? The microwave?
What, saves money.
If you have, like, surplus sinks, then maybe if you have a spare sink... All I'm saying is...
Have you got a B-day, Glenn? Is that yeah.
When I was at uni in my second year...
You got a B-day, innit?
My room, my bedroom, had a sink in. And I was also my room was also next door to the bathroom. And sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night and the sink was there.
That's not cool.
But it was literally within pissing distance.
But and that's not cool.
I know, and I realised that, but also I was in the privacy of my own
sink
room. And I never, ever used that basin for any other purpose other than it was just the pissing basin.
And did you fill it up?
No, but what I do is I just rinse it out. And then it started to become unpleasant to one of my senses after a few weeks. And I checked why, and it's because the sink wasn't fully connected to the wall. And I was just pissing onto my wall.
I honestly don't think it's a problem. And it is very good for the environment.
I do. No, I don't.
Pissing in the sink is not good for the fucking environment. Let's stop that.
What, are you campaigning for porcelain
what,
now?
Oh, really? Really? Greenpeace made a fucking advert, have they? About how we should all piss in the sink.
This thing, it's not like I'm going around, I'm pissing on tusks.
They did say don't flush the toilet when you're
pissing.
No.
Yeah, they say don't flush the toilet, which I think is fine, and I don't do.
You don't flush the toilet?
What? When I've done a piss.
That's worse.
No, when I...
That's worse.
I don't always piss in... I don't
want... You don't always piss. Right.
Like, for example, right now, I'm only slightly pissing. I've had two babies, I'm sorry. No, I don't always flush the toilet.
And you think that's better than pissing in the sink?
Yes, because that's where piss is supposed to go.
Yeah, but it's not where it's supposed to stay.
I mean, I'm not talking for years.
Here's the game changer. We all piss in the shower, right?
Well, that is what Greenpeace say you should do.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And I didn't for years. I think I started, 2 years ago. Really enjoying it.
Every single time I have a shower and urinate, I think I'm doing this for the Rainbow Warrior.
Yeah.
I do, and I heard it was good for verrucas as well.
Yeah. It's also, but it is bad when you follow through, isn't it? Because that does get messy. I'm joking!
You can push it down with your toe.
I used to piss out of the window when I was a teenager and I was scared of waking my dad up.
How?
I would get out onto the roof. I know, and piss into the gutter. Yeah, I know.
That's all right,
I know,
though.
It's very dangerous. I was saving this up for Would I Lie to You?
And call yourself Whittler on the Roof.
I rang Glenn and told him that weeks ago. We've been workshopping it.
It took me 2 weeks.
Can I ask, did you squat or did you fashion a tube?
I squatted.
You squatted?
I squatted.
Over the gutter?
Yes.
In the night, on the roof?
Yeah, I was...
We are all pissing in the gutter.
But some of you are looking at my arse.
Viv, you seem shocked by all this.
Yeah, because I just think some people are dirty. And
most of us,
you know, that sounds harsh, but... I lived with someone who used to do that in the middle of the night. I don't know if it's because he didn't want to disturb anyone or whatever it was, but I'd wake up because I go to the toilet a lot in the night and I'd see yellow, liquid, caramelised In the toilet. And I don't want to see that.
Well, why are you cooking it?
Are you making some sort of piss brulee?
But I mean, just flush it. It's fine. I mean, I know.
My friend, whenever he went to house parties when we were 18, would always wank into the sink.
Oh, why?
But that's better.
Why are you washing your hands?
That's all right. Because, let's not lie, we've all had a dick in our mouth and we've all swallowed a bit. So that's not so bad. But I've never had piss in my mouth.
I've never had a dick in my mouth.
I think that's fair.
I've never had a dick in my mouth, but I have swallowed.
But hold on, that's fair though, isn't it? That's fair.
I don't want it in my sink.
But it's all right.
My mouth's fine.
Exactly.
I have higher standards for my sink. I had a friend who woke up in a bathroom once when he was drunk. He woke up in the morning and he thought, he felt he'd had a shit. And then he realised that he was sitting and looking at a toilet and thought, oh, that's not good. And realised he'd brought a piano stool into the toilet and had shat into that. And it wasn't his Amazing. House, wasn't his piano stool. So what he did was...
It was his stool.
He took the stool with his stool and he left it in an alleyway.
Really?
Yeah.
There's not a single part of that story that I don't absolutely love. He felt like he had a shit. And that's my first thing that I love. Just feel like I've had one.
I can't believe he stole someone's piano stool.
No.
That's the worst bit of the story for me. Ben, what's the answer?
Well, I'm going to give another point to Michael and Vivian. This advice comes from Dear Annie at creators.com. And Annie says, I think you ought to knock it off. For one, urine isn't sterile. That's just a myth, apparently. If he's really bent on saving water, there are plenty of ways he can do so, such as installing a low-flush toilet without annoying you. So she's very much anti-piss in the sink, so point to Michael and Vivian.
Yes.
Who would have thought, out of all the opinions, not pissing in the sink was the right one?
Now you've learnt how a real agony aunt does it, let's see you deal with some problems from tonight's audience. So is Andy here?
Hello, yes.
Hi, Andy. Oh, so, Andy's problem is my housemate keeps messing up my house and still claims I'm the messy one. How do I stop his domestic gaslighting?
You kill him and claim he's the murderous one.
What does your housemate do?
Well, he'll frequently eat a lot of takeaway. I'd leave it all over the table, sofas, so I was on a bed. Like, not usually mine. Not usually, but not always not. You know how it is. Just plates everywhere, that sort of thing.
And what do you do? If he were here and we asked him, what would he say you do?
Like all those same things. I think.
Is he you? Is this a question, how do I stop being messier?
So I think what happens is we're both messy, but he is worse. And he'll come back and think that all of his mess is my mess. And he'll just keep adding to it and won't clean up on principle. And I do actually clean up and try and make it better. So I'm sort of trying to stem the tide of filth.
If I have a go at my boyfriend for being messy, he gets really defensive. So I have to do it like this. Like, well, one of us has pissed all over a copy of The Week. I mean, I'm not saying who it is, but maybe we should both try to not do that in the future.
I think you should stop keeping your copy of The Week in the sink.
Vivian, have you got any housemates?
Yes, I have. I mean, this is one of my biggest annoyances in life. But first, I think we need to distinguish. Is it mess or is it dirt? Because that's different. Now, I'm taking this very seriously because it is a serious thing. Mess is like, oh, I've left my shoes in the hallway. Oh, I've left my jacket there. A plate on a bed from food that you've eaten is dirty.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about the mess bit. It's the filth.
It's a tough one. I don't know.
Is it just the two of you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're lucky. Just two of you living in the flat. How old are you?
It's all right. It's quite nice. Mid-20s,
and you can afford a two-bedroom flat renting in London.
Didn't say it was two-bedroom.
True. What can you do?
Margaret.
Can you write messages to him in his filth? Like, you know, ketchup and stuff. Or label his dirt.
What, like buy a label maker and stick it to the plates?
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Amazingly passive-aggressive. Yeah.
That might make him look like a twat.
I don't think Andy minds looking like a twat.
But that's and like, you could get the dirty plate and write, wash me in the gravy, whatever you non-vegans eat. gravy mainly, isn't it?
Or if it's been a very dusty day, wait till he's fallen asleep and write wash me on his stomach.
Oh.
And that'd be frightening and sexual at the same time. Glenn, have you got a flatmate?
Yes, I have two.
Who's the dirtiest?
I don't know, because I see
you in it.
I'm
yeah,
the well.
That
I'm
sounds
the,
like
if you,
you
don't know, it's you.
You.
But I'm probably the messiest within my own room. That's the thing. If I leave any mess in the communal area, like if I've got a dirty plate and I don't have time to wash the plate, then I'll take the plate into my room, so I'll just let it pile up in my room.
Oh.
But then what it means is I have all of the plates.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's only messy in the sense of like it's a clean floor, and then there are clean clothes on the clean floor, and so I don't see why that's a problem because they're all
they're covered in plates.
Yeah.
Dirty plates.
And no, other than that, it's just I mean there's a sink full of piss, but other than that
I've just thought of a great idea. You should pretend there's a ghost and say, oh, the ghost has left mess everywhere, and then they'll think you've had a breakdown.
Perhaps and you get sectioned, and
you
it's
do get
very
sectioned.
Clean in hospital.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Tell him about the disgusting things that might happen, like you've seen a mouse.
Oh, we've had the mouse.
Oh,
we
and he doesn't care. Oh, you need to get rid of him.
So you've
he's not the one for you. He doesn't care about the mouse.
Well, it was quite cute,
what's wrong
to be
with
fair.
People? What do you mean it's quite cute? It's not your
what?
Pet!
So, yeah. So it moved out because it was living in a shithole.
Wow. Do you know what, Andy? Up the stakes, say you've had the horse.
Andy, who would you give points to?
I want to give points to Glenn because of the horse.
And because we went to uni together, so...
Yeah.
He knows about the piss wall.
Yeah. I've been holding that over him for a while, so I'm glad it's out in public now. And I want to give points to Michael Legg for the gravy one, because he eats meat and I don't, so I would like to in some way
there you go.
Shape some vengeance through his gravy. That would be good, yeah.
Vengeance through gravy. Fucking hell, that's Peter's new slogan.
Producer Ben, what are the scores?
The scores, as it stands, are that Michael and Vivian have 3, Margaret and Glenn have 2.
Yes! Hello, this is Producer Ben from Do The Right Thing. This is our 8th attempt at recording a message to try and get you to donate money to the show so we can make more episodes in the future. And I think we're really starting to nail it now. So, if you'd like to support the show, please go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate to find out how you can throw us a one-off donation or even pledge to pay us a small amount per episode in the future, which would really help us. Thanks, bye!
Do the right thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, there are some questions the internet just can't answer, like why fucking bother? In these instances, we need to ask an expert.
Ask the expert.
So, in this round, the panel have to work out what an expert would do in any situation that I have given them. So let's welcome today's trained professional, it's material scientist, Anna Pushaisky. That's right, materials expert.
Hello.
So you're a scientist?
Yes.
Ooh.
Don't see many of them around here.
As a scientist, should I buy a 3D printer?
Yeah, they're quite fun. Yeah, I recommend them.
Can I print a body part?
Yes. Depending on the body part, which one would you like to print?
Leg. I really want a leg. Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Right, panel, in a moment you're going to have to second guess what advice Anna would give in some materials-based scenarios, but before that you've got a chance to get to know her a little bit better by asking her some questions. So, what question, Margaret, have you always wanted to ask a materials expert?
I would like to know, do you have any sympathy at all for the first two little pigs? I've always wanted to ask a materials scientist that.
Remind me.
Okay, fairy tale, three little pigs. First one built the house out of straw, second out of sticks.
Okay, I was thinking went to market, rubbish. But that's piggy.
No, yeah, piggies, very different.
Sure. Okay, yeah.
It's like Marvel and DC, they're two separate.
The third one got it right and built out of bricks.
Right, well, I guess the first two piggies are kind of idiots. So
no, it's your answer.
Okay. No.
If I were going to make a fist out of something...
Oh, wow. Here she goes.
What would be the best material to cover most situations?
Well, I think material science is all about choosing the right material for a specific job, so I'd need a bit more information about where...
Who are you punching? Or fisting?
Or wanking. Yeah, so...
Is that how you wank?
Yeah.
With a fist of fire.
Say I just wanted to punch my way into a bank. As the plot of a Jason Statham film, what would be the best fist material?
So you're looking for a material that's going to get through glass?
Or concrete?
Or concrete,
or
right.
Or the vault.
You'd want something that's harder than any of those materials, so I'd recommend something like steel, diamond, if you really want to push the boat out. Oh. Diamond fist.
Do you think...
How does that sound?
I mean, it sounds like a great series on Netflix. Episode 4 to 8 are a bit shit, but it picks up at the end. Anybody else got anything non-fist-based?
This is mildly fist-based. But
I mean, in a way, everything is.
Out of rock, paper and scissors, which one is... Because one is the best. There is one that's the best. I know they all have their strengths and weaknesses, but one is the best. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay. So...
I really like how seriously you're taking this.
Well, what you don't realise is that I often use rock, paper, scissors in my own comedy to explain why material science is amazing, because you're all about comparing materials properties. And the example that I use is that scissors get blunted by the rock because rocks are harder than scissors. So I'm going to say the rock, because that is my favourite example.
He is great.
He eats a lot of chicken.
Does he now?
Yeah. How do you know that?
Has he been at your bins again, Daniel?
Anyway, here's the first scenario we set to Anna. Anna is getting ready to go out to a sci-fi films of the 80s fancy dress party dressed as Sarah Connor from Terminator. She just put the finishing touches in place when who should burst through the lab door but the actual Terminator. Before she can explain the mistake, the cyborg starts firing shots at her. But what can she use to protect herself from the bullets? All there is to hand is a folded silk scarf, a steel tray, and a hot water bottle full of custard. What would Anna grab in this situation?
I think the scarf, because you know with a newspaper you can make a Millwall brick. So can you make a Millwall scarf?
You can buy a Millwall scarf.
Do you know the Millwall brick? When I first met you, I never thought I'd be asking you, what is a Millwall brick?
So what it is, are you done with the paper? Please.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Okay, so you roll it up from one diagonal
to the other.
Great
radio.
Art attack.
And then you twist it around like that. I mean, if it's a newspaper, that will kill someone. And
I mean, you can't see this, but it's not very convincing.
No, but it's because it's one sheet of paper. But the silken scarf could hold qualities that we do not know about.
So. Michael, as a vegan, are you allowed to touch silk?
Oh, I don't know. What's silk made out of?
Well, poo of a silkworm?
It's worm
poo.
Oh,
shit, it's fine. As long as they do it in a sink, it's ours.
And how about the hot water bottle full of custard?
Why is it full of custard?
That's just what she has in her room.
Well, custard, I mean, I guess technically isn't vegan, so I couldn't use that. But trays are always vegan. Even the ones with the ivory handles. Those are all vegan.
Can't she get all of them and fashion another
Sarah
Connor?
What's wrong with just talking to him?
And if we're going to use the word fashion, why not the silk scarf?
We seem to be going for scarf.
We seem to be going for scarf. Michael and
Vivian. I'm going for a tray.
I'm going for a tray.
I'm going for a tray.
Should have gone
what would you do with a tray?
Well, firstly, offer him a refreshment.
Anna, what would you use in this situation?
I think I would use the hot water bottle full of custard. Wow. However, silk scarf is also a good option.
Better than a tray?
Can I ask why?
Well, so silk was actually traditionally used as bulletproof armour. The ancient Japanese used silk, and then the mafia guys at the beginning of the 20th century rediscovered it and started wearing silk scarves and silk bodysuits and stuff.
And where are they now?
Hang on. What, just one layer of silk?
A few layers.
Kimono.
Yeah. A few layers of silk.
How many layers of silk, out of interest?
About 18.
18 layers of silk to be bulletproof, okay. And that's better than a steel tray?
Well, yeah, because a steel tray is quite thin, and a thin layer of steel wouldn't really stop a bullet or a Terminator.
And the custard?
So, the custard is an example of something called a non-Newtonian fluid. Oh. Can I get an ooh?
Whee!
It's also called a shear thickening fluid, which means that if you punch it, it turns solid.
Sorry, can you say that again?
If you punch it, it turns solid.
You punch custard, it turns solid.
Yeah, it has to be the right consistency.
Why don't they have custard helmets in the police?
They're working on it. Like liquid armour.
No, they aren't. Why did you say that?
Someone is.
If you don't know the answer, just say you don't know the answer. Don't make up custard helmet bullshit.
Oh, Glenn, don't say custody, don't say custody, don't say custody.
Anna, who do you think has points?
Oh, well, then I guess it's this team who get a point for the silk scarf.
Yeah,
right. Sure. The expert thinks they got it right with her fucking custard madness.
Does soya custard work? Like, if you used Alpro custard, would that work? Just to make him a bit happier?
Sure.
Okay. Be all right. Alpro custard tastes like custard.
That's a great slogan for it.
Well, when I go out my bike tomorrow, I'll remember to pour some on my fucking head.
Here's scenario number two. Anna has won the much coveted Iron Fist Award for scientists who have done the most to further the cause of iron. Unfortunately, on the way home from the awards, her moped breaks down in the middle of a rainstorm in the middle of nowhere. Worried that her Iron Fist statuette will rust in the rain, Anna looks about to see what she has to hand. All she can find in her pockets are a jar of peanut butter, an MP3 player with headphones, a can of Fanta and a bottle of tequila, shot glasses, salt and lemon wedges. What would Anna use to stop the rust?
You mean what would Anna use? Yeah. Not like what would a normal person use? Well, she'd bake a fucking meringue.
What would Anna use in this situation?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I'm as knowledgeable on the subject as she is.
You've got your big iron fist.
I do have my big iron fist, and thank you for noticing, Daniel.
Would you rub it in peanut butter or would you soak it in Fanta?
Tequila.
Drink the tequila, because you want to relax in any of these situations.
Listen to some music on the
MP3. See, we've
so
got
you're
this.
Chill. Yeah. Just so you're chill.
Then
having a little party.
Then we pour Fanta on it and then just giggle at the peanut butter. Points.
Smother it. You need to smother it in the peanut butter.
But they've used all of everything.
What would you use, Margaret?
Were we not allowed to use everything?
Peanut butter.
Maybe you weren't meant to use everything.
Peanut butter.
Maybe the salt will do something to rain. Science.
So you say...
Use everything.
Yeah.
Use everything and you
We're
would...
going for peanut butter. Peanut
we said that as well, though. That's our main one.
Yeah, that's
so
tactic,
we still get a point.
This is a tactic.
Yeah.
Anna, what is the answer?
The answer is you could use all of these.
Oh, yes! That's what we said!
What?
You just tried to take it back, mate. You tried to take it back.
You don't get focused on your belt, Brian. You better fucking start hollering, or I will bring the troubles back right now.
Guys, don't.
No one ever won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire because their answer was all of them.
We've won.
By getting the audience to cheer the troubles.
Anna, so do you mix them all together and pour them on your fist?
So, you can use the peanut butter because it's very high in oil. So if you smother that on the fist, as Viv said, then that will mean that there's a waterproof layer across there so the rain can't get in and so it won't rust. Next example was the headphones, the MP3. So you take the batteries out of the MP3 player, strip the copper wires out of the headphones, and connect the battery up to the award and stick it in a puddle of water. And if you get the battery the right way around, then it will create a current which will protect it from rust.
In what situation would you do that instead of just putting peanut butter on it? Well, if you like,
just
like
put
butter.
It in your bag. Put it on the moped and sit on it.
What about the Fanta?
With the Fanta, you would drink the Fanta. Did anyone say that?
I said that.
Oh. Yeah, they said every combination of words you could imagine.
So you drink the Fanta and then you take the aluminium can and you just put it so that it was touching the iron, because aluminium will rust preferentially to iron.
So it just has to touch it?
Yeah.
That's genuinely fascinating.
Thank you.
So if I put a can next to my bike in the rain, the can rusts?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I just go home now. I feel like I've learnt everything. What about the tequila?
Well, with the tequila, you'd obviously drink the tequila. You'd have to throw the salt away, really far away, because salt will make the rust a lot worse.
That is the opposite of what I said.
Glenn, shut up!
With the lemon, if you wanted to squeeze out the juice, it wouldn't really help initially, but the citric acid would help to remove any rust that did form on the iron vest.
That's good.
Who are you going to give points to?
Well, I'm definitely going to give points to the team that said use all of them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think also you guys did say the peanut butter, so I'm going to give you a point as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. And before you go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, I have a podcast.
About
indeed. It's about material science. Woohoo! It's called Real Talk. It's spelt apostrophe R-I-A-L as in mater. Real talk. It's a visual pun for an audio medium. It was a mistake, but it does mean that I'm at the top of all the listings because it starts with the punctuation mark.
Thanks to material scientist Anna Pushaisky.
Thank you.
Before we hit the final round, what are the scores for you today?
The scores are very exciting because it's 4-4.
Just like the little mermaid sticking her tail in a toaster, we're about to do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing!
In this final round, I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any situation. The winner gets a rub down with Swarfiga. The round ends when we hear producer Ben's bassoon-powered seesaw. So, number one, your cult says you can't be leader. What is the wrong thing to do?
Leave the Labour Party. I realise I shouldn't say that because my voice makes it sound like I'm a fervent conservative, and I'm really not.
I was going to say become Pope out of spite.
Yeah. You fancy a milkshake but have run out of milk, what is the wrong thing to do?
Drink milk at any time.
Use a different part of the cow.
Use your friend's breast milk.
Your husband.
You grow an arm out of your back, what is the wrong thing to do?
Applaud yourself while having a wank.
Dame Judi Dench wants to borrow some crack. What is the wrong thing to do?
Not let her have the crack.
You just fancy a nap. What is the wrong thing to do?
Fancy a nap?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Drive.
Yeah. Through Paris, late at night with your favourite princess.
Let's go home now.
When you said that, I was thinking, is it going to be a terrorist thing? Oh no, it's Diana. It's Diana. It's okay.
Yes. They have to cancel the entire show.
Oh no. Well, that's the end of the show. But before we all piss off home for Battenberg and a jiggle. Producer Ben, what are the scores?
Well, Margaret and Glenn monstered that round and they won 8-5.
Yay! Well done, Margaret and Glenn. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Do the right thing because you're picking a shit up on Glenn Moore. Mark Cable Smith, Michael Legg, Material Sciences, Anna Kushaisky, and me, Daniel Ward, the voice of producer Ben Walker. We put the script together with extra materials from David Reed. Martin White did the music. Thanks to the Phoenix for having us, to Bryn Rhys Davies and Maisha Thompson for helping out. Do the right thing is a first production for the internet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.